If you're at Morgan Stanley or UBS and you've started wondering whether your clients could follow you out the door, there's one fact about your firm that changes every part of the answer. Both firms left the broker protocol back in 2017. So, the playbook your friend at a protocol firm used doesn't exist for you. Today is about what governs your move instead, and the order to do things in so a routine departure doesn't turn into an emergency. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for advisors at Morgan Stanley, at UBS, or at any firm outside the protocol. We'll cover what the protocol would have permitted and why it doesn't apply to you, where the traps live in your agreement, what counts as solicitation, and what the first 72 hours after resignation look like. Start with the part that should steady you. Clients are not property. No firm owns a client's loyalty. Clients can move their accounts wherever they choose. What's regulated is your conduct, what information you carry out, whom you contact, what you say, and when. Get those right, and clients who want to follow you generally can. Get them wrong, and you can face a lawsuit or an arbitration claim, even if every client wanted to come. And you're not unusual for wondering. Fidelity's advisor movement study found more than half of advisors had considered switching firms within a five-year window, and roughly one in four actually moved. So, the protocol. It was created back in 2004 by Smith Barney, Merrill Lynch, and UBS to protect clients' privacy and their freedom to choose their advisor when an advisor changes firms. The official protocol text spells out exactly five things you may take for the clients you personally service: name, address, phone number, email address, and account title. Nothing else. It prohibits taking any other documents or information. And if the industry's most permissive framework allows five fields and nothing more, walking out of a non-protocol firm with files, statements, or an exported spreadsheet is a different order of risk entirely. But the protocol is voluntary, and firms join and leave as a business decision. Morgan Stanley's withdrawal took effect in November of 2017. UBS followed in December, and Citigroup's Smith Barney stepped out in January 2018. None of that is a criticism. Plenty of well-regarded firms sit outside the protocol. The practical point for you is narrower. Protection requires both ends of the move to be signatories, and the firm you'd be leaving isn't one. However carefully your destination follows protocol procedure, the framework never attaches to your exit. What governs instead is the agreement you signed plus your state's law. And can I take my clients? Sounds like one question, but in a non-protocol departure, it's really three. What does your agreement actually say? What separates you contacting a client from a client contacting you? And where are you going? Because an employee seat at another firm, an independent platform, and your own registered investment advisor, an RIA, are three different transitions. Notice what's not on the list, whether your clients like you. That matters to whether they follow. It has almost no bearing on whether your conduct was lawful, which is the question your former employer's counsel will be asking. Take the agreement first because it carries almost all of the weight. A non-solicit is not a non-compete. You can be free to join a competitor tomorrow and still be barred from asking your old clients to come with you. Then the confidentiality section, which typically defines client information as property of the firm and decides whether the phone numbers in your head, a list typed from memory, and an exported spreadsheet get treated the same way. There's no five-field safe harbor here. Some agreements add notice periods or garden leave, which hand the firm a head start on retention while you wait. And if you took recruiting money when you joined, it was almost certainly papered as a forgivable loan. The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, FINRA, has itself described recruitment incentives running as much as 2 to 3 times the prior year's commissions and fees forgiven over a schedule of years. Leave before that schedule runs out and the unforgiven balance generally comes due. That won't decide whether clients follow. It decides whether the move pencils. Now, the heart of it, are you allowed to tell clients you're leaving? Under most agreements and firm policies, not before you resign. Afterward, the line between announcing and soliciting is drawn by your covenant's wording and your state's case law, not by lunchroom folklore. The contested ground is everything in between those two. The goodbye call, the LinkedIn post, the mutual friend who passes along your new number, a conversation that feels like simple courtesy to you can read as solicitation in a courtroom filing. And advisors cross the line most often in the weeks before resignation when they're emotional in a hurry and tempted to prepare their best clients just a little. It helps to know the machinery waiting on the other side. If a firm outside the protocol believes a departing advisor breached the agreement, its most powerful early tool is a temporary restraining order, a TRO, an emergency court order that can bar you from contacting former clients while the dispute heads to arbitration. TROs can land within days of a resignation. Underneath the emergency phase, these disputes generally get resolved in FINRA arbitration, and outcomes there turn on conduct. An advisor who leaves with nothing their agreement forbids follows a communication plan built with counsel and lets clients make their own choices gives a future panel very little to work with. That's the goal. Not winning the fight. Never having one worth bringing. Which is why the first 72 hours after you resign carry more weight than any other stretch of the move. Hour one is the resignation itself, delivered the way your agreement specifies and your attorney has approved in writing to the person the agreement names with firm property handed back the same day, laptop, phone, files, anything carrying the firm's data. Your system access ends at that moment. So whatever you needed beforehand. Then the registrations move. The firm you left files your Form U5. Your new firm files a Form U4. And in the stretch between those filings, you are not registered anywhere. That gap constrains what you can say and what you can transact. And it doesn't close on your schedule. On client contact in those hours, a client who finds you and asks to move is making their own choice. Working down a list you assembled and dialing is the conduct that ends up attached to a filing. Which side of that line your particular agreement puts you on is something you settle with the attorney before hour one, not after. And the firm you left is working those same 72 hours. Your accounts get reassigned. Your clients get calls from someone who is now their advisor, and everything you left behind gets read for signs you prepared. That's the window a TRO gets drafted in if one is coming, which is why the first move isn't a recruiter call and isn't a goodbye lunch. It's finding a securities attorney who handles broker transitions for a living before you give notice and before the first client hears a word. Most advisors don't have one on call, and that's the point. The branch is the last place to ask for a referral, so get the right person in your corner now. An attorney who does this work can usually tell you within an hour what your agreement allows and what your firm's likely playbook looks like. Then decide with them, in advance exactly what you will and won't say, to whom and when, and hold that line. If this is more than idle wondering, we built a short assessment for exactly this moment. 6 questions, free, on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. It shows you which parts of your situation deserve a specialist's eyes first. Know your agreement before anyone knows your plans. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.